Novity searches for acquisitions to counter looming biologic patent losses. A pair of clinical trial failures at Novity's wiped nearly $30 billion in market value in a single trading session. This week, shredding investor confidence in the Swiss drugmaker's acquisition-led growth strategy, and arriving just as a separate report warns that 90% of biologics facing patent expiration by 2030 have no lower-cost alternatives in development. Novity's shares fell 11% in one day after Deldesiran, a treatment for muscle wasting disorder, failed a late-stage clinical study. The collapse was the second major trial setback for the company in days, according to Reuters, erasing all gains the stock had accumulated since the start of the year. 8 shareholders cited by Reuters raised pointed questions about the company's $12 billion acquisition of Avidity last year, and the broader deal-making discipline that produced it. The Deldesiran failure landed on top of the earlier collapse of pelacarsen, a cardiac therapy designed to lower lipoprotein A, or LPA, levels in patients after a 7-year clinical trial produced no meaningful reduction in heart attack or stroke rates, according to Stat News. Ethan Weiss, a cardiologist at the University of California, San Francisco and co-founder of Maria Therapeutics, warned that the consecutive cardiovascular failures from Novartis and Novo Nordisk would likely pop a hole in the balloon of a field that had seen a resurgence in investment. Weiss told Stat that future financing for cardiovascular programs would become harder to secure in the wake of these results. The broader implication extends well beyond Novartis. The pelacarsen failure was the first test of a new class of LPA lowering drugs, a category in which multiple pharmaceutical companies have committed billions of dollars. A failed first mover does not kill a therapeutic class, but it recalibrates the risk premium across every competing program. For institutional capital that has been pricing cardiovascular biotech on the assumption that LPA targeting works, the repricing has begun. The $12 billion Avidity questioned the Novartis Avidity acquisition, completed last year at $12 billion, purchased access to a platform for RNA-based therapies, including Deldesiran for muscle-wasting conditions. The drug's late-stage failure this week put that price tag under immediate scrutiny. Terms of performance milestones or contingent value provisions attached to the deal were not disclosed in the source material. The math for shareholders is stark. Novartis lost nearly $30 billion in market capitalization in a single session, more than twice the acquisition price it paid for Avidity. Even accounting for other pipeline assets, the market's single-day verdict assigns a deeply negative net present value to what was positioned as a transformative deal. The Novartis one-day market cap loss of nearly $30 billion exceeded the $12 billion Avidity acquisition price by a factor of roughly 2.5 times, according to Reuters data cited by Stat. 8 Novartis shareholders, as reported by Reuters, are now pushing for increased scrutiny of future deal-making strategy. Whether that translates into board-level governance changes or revised capital allocation criteria was not disclosed in available sources. What is clear, mergers and acquisitions-driven pipeline strategies carry binary risk that diversification through internal R&D does not fully replicate, and the Novartis situation is the sharpest recent illustration of that dynamic. 90% of expiring biologics have no biosimilar in development simultaneously. A report from the Association for Accessible Medicines, a trade group representing generic drug makers, found that 90% of expensive, widely used biologics facing patent expiration by 2034 have no lower-cost alternatives currently in development, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Association for Accessible Medicines estimates that 118 popular biologic drugs are set to go off patent. Without biosimilar competition, Americans could miss out on nearly $200 billion in healthcare savings over the next decade. These drugs are manufactured inside living cells, making them structurally more complex and more expensive to replicate than small molecule generics. Caption: Key data points from Stat News coverage, September 11, 2026. The Association for Accessible Medicines attributed the biosimilar development gap to a steep decline in market uptake for newly launched biosimilars in recent years, which has dimmed drugmaker enthusiasm for developing them. The commercial logic is circular but durable. If existing biosimilars are not capturing meaningful market share, the internal rate of return on developing new ones falls below hurdle rates and programs get shelved. LPA drugs and the cardiovascular investment Reset Novodiz's pelacarsen was designed to reduce heart attack and stroke risk by lowering LPA, a lipid that, at elevated concentrations, raises the probability of severe cardiovascular events. An estimated 20% of people carry abnormally high LPA levels, according to Stat News. The drug completed a 7-year clinical trial and failed. That duration represents an enormous capital commitment measured against a zero outcome result. Multiple other drug companies have invested billions of dollars in competing LPA programs, according to Stat. Weiss's warning about a chilling effect across the industry is analytically specific. When the first clinical proof of concept in a mechanistic class fails, risk-adjusted valuations across all competing programs compress, and venture and crossover capital that had been pricing in eventual approval now faces a fundamental reassessment. The Novo Nordisk cardiovascular failure, which Stat reported as occurring back-to-back with the Novodiz pelacarsen readout, compounds that dynamic. The specific Novo Nordisk drug and trial details were paywalled and not fully available in the source material, but the concurrent timing of two major cardiovascular failures from two of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world is the market signal. Neither failure alone changes a therapeutic thesis. Together, they raise genuine questions about whether LPA reduction translates into clinical outcomes. Biosimilar economics and the private equity angle for private equity and institutional capital evaluating positions in biosimilar developers or generic pharma platforms, the Association for Accessible Medicines data presents a paradox. The patent cliff on 118 biologics by 2034 represents an enormous theoretical opportunity. Nearly $200 billion in potential savings implies a comparable prize in revenue capture for any biosimilar entrant. Yet 90% of those drugs have no competitor in development. The gap between market opportunity and capital deployment reflects a structural problem in biosimilar commercialization, not a discovery problem. Manufacturing complexity is the primary barrier. Biologics require living cell production systems, analytical characterization, and clinical immunogenicity studies that small molecule generics do not. Development costs are higher and timelines are longer. But the more immediate issue, as the Association for Accessible Medicines framed it, is the market uptake problem. Biosimilars that have launched are not converting at rates that justify the capital required to develop them. This is precisely the kind of structural market failure that creates conditions for private capital to engineer a solution. A platform that solves the market access and payer contracting problem for biosimilars, rather than just the manufacturing problem, addresses the actual bottleneck. That is an acquisition thesis with durable defensibility, provided the buyer prices in the regulatory complexity and the timeline to scaled commercialization. The Placamium view the Novity situation is not primarily a story about one failed drug. It is a stress test of the acquire-to-innovate model that has dominated large-cap pharma strategy for the past decade. When Novity paid $12 billion for Avidity, it was purchasing platform optionality in RNA therapeutics. The Deldesiran failure does not necessarily invalidate the platform, but it crystallizes the valuation problem with platform-based acquisitions in clinical-stage biotech. The buyer is paying a certainty premium for technology that still carries binary trial risk. The market just priced that mismatch in real time. Our thesis: the Novitas share move will accelerate a re-rating of mergers and acquisitions-funded pharma pipelines more broadly. Investors who have tolerated premium acquisition multiples on the assumption that large-cap execution de-risks clinical assets will now demand more explicit visibility into trial readouts before rewarding deal announcements. This shifts negotiating leverage towards sellers with data and away from sellers with platform stories. On biosimilars, the $200 billion savings gap is not primarily an investment opportunity today. It is a policy failure in slow motion. The uptake problem the Association for Accessible Medicines identifies is fundamentally a contracting and incentive problem between pharmacy benefit managers, payers, and prescribers. Until that structure changes, the development gap will persist regardless of the patent cliff. The actionable private equity trade is not in biosimilar development. It is in the payer-facing infrastructure, specialty pharmacy, contracting platforms, and formulary management tools that can actually move market share once a biosimilar launches. The cardiovascular sector faces a harder near-term reset. Weiss's Pop a Hole in the Balloon framing describes a recalibration that will take several quarters to work through. Companies with LP-A programs in mid-stage development will face tighter financing conditions. That creates a secondary opportunity: licensing and option deals at compressed valuations for buyers who hold a differentiated scientific view on whether the pelacarsen failure reflects a drug-specific problem or a target class problem. That distinction is not yet resolved by the available data. The bottom line: Novitas's $30 billion single-session market cap loss, driven by the failure of an asset acquired for $12 billion, is the sharpest recent demonstration that large-cap pharma's mergers and acquisitions machine carries unpriced binary risk. The simultaneous warning from the Association for Accessible Medicines that 118 biologics will lose patent protection by 2034 with no biosimilar competition illustrates a parallel failure of capital allocation at the generic end of the market. Both stories converge on the same structural problem. Pharmaceutical capital flows are mispriced relative to the actual risk of clinical and commercial execution. For institutional investors, the forward posture is selective. Compress exposure to platform acquisition stories with unvalidated lead assets. Identify LP, A, and cardiovascular programs where the mechanistic question raised by pelacarsen's failure can be scientifically distinguished. Build positions in biosimilar adjacent infrastructure where the commercial barrier, not the scientific barrier, is the problem to be solved. The patent cliff is real. The $200 billion is real. The question is who captures it, and the answer is not yet the companies developing the drugs.